This is Walter Pendleton from Sovereign Grace Chapel, and I have the pleasure of bringing you a message by Brother Roland Browning from Dingus Baptist Church at Dingus, West Virginia, where Brother Gary Vance is the pastor. But before I bring you Brother Roland Browning's message this morning, I'd like to make an announcement that Sovereign Grace Chapel is having a meeting on June the 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. June the 17th, 18th, and 19th, we will have Brother Don Fortner and Brother Clay Curtis preach for us. There is more information on our website, and we'll give you that contact info at the end of our broadcast. But I would encourage you, if you want to hear the gospel preached, you want to hear the person and work of Jesus Christ exalted, come out and hear Brother Don Fortner and Brother Clay Curtis. If the service will begin on the 17th at 7 p.m., and it will begin on the 18th at 10:30 a.m., and on the 19th at 10:30 a.m. So I would encourage you that if you can, if you want to hear the gospel, come out and be with us. And now I want to bring you the message by Brother Roland Browning.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning and would like to follow along after us, we'll be looking at a few verses here in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." This book, the book of Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ, as the whole Bible is. The whole book of God is a revelation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament scripture is Christ concealed. The New Testament scriptures is Christ revealed. In the Old Testament scripture, Christ was pictured in types and shadows and sacrifices and all these things. In the New Testament scriptures, in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is personified in the flesh. He came in the flesh. And in Acts, through the book of Revelation, it is the revelation that God gave unto him concerning his own son. And John had been exiled into the Isle of Patmos. He had been put there for the preaching of the gospel. And while he was there, God appeared unto him, and we read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." This vision that God gave unto him, this vision that John saw, this vision as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorious person. John had saw him all down through his life. John had saw him, but now he sees him as the Lord of glory. Not only with the natural eye, John had saw him, but also with eye of faith. He had beheld his Savior with a spiritual eye of faith. John saw the Lord in his life of obedience. Yet John saw the Lord in his life of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. John saw the Lord at his death, being crucified at Calvary. And John saw the Lord in his glorious transfiguration, ascending into the heavens. We read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and beheld declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ." John had been taught by the Spirit of God, and now he comes before God in the spirit of worship, and God gives him a blessed vision of that one whom he loves above all. John said, "I heard a voice behind me. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks. You can find this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12 down through verse 16. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about with paps as a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flaming fire, and his feet likened unto fine brass, as if they'd been burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. John had heard this voice behind him, and he had turned to see this voice. And here in verse 17, it says, and when I saw him, when I saw the voice that spoke unto me, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. John had seen his garments, his glorious garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had seen, or John had seen, his hair white as snow, the purity of God. John had seen his feet, the strength of God. And John had heard his voice, but now, oh, but now, he looked upon the face of the very Son of God. We sang the old song, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me? John saw the glorious person of the one who had been speaking unto him, and said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is the result of any man seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in his beauty, in his glory, in his majesty. The nearer one come to Christ, the more rottenness enters into his bone. John was so consumed by the glory of the Lord that life went out of his body. I can remember when the Lord began to teach me something about his gospel. Oh, I'd been in religion, as may have some of you may have been. I was in this thing of do's and don't do's. I'd been in this thing of going here and not going there. Oh, but when God began to speak, when God began to teach me through the gospel, he taught me something about his glorious person. And then he taught me something about the filthiness and the rottenness of a man in sin. Oh, but thanks be unto God. He teaches everyone that comes unto him. He teaches everyone those that he draws unto him. He teaches every one of them by the word of God, through the preaching of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Be very suspicious of those who claim that they see visions, and those that have a result of something that they do and something that they don't do that God had blessed them with. Be suspicious. If you are to hear the gospel, if you are to know something about God, it will come through the preaching of the gospel. It will come to you by God sending it forth unto you by another minister. So he shows us something about ourselves and something about himself. And what was the result of him speaking? What was the result of him teaching? We fall before him as dead. We fall before him as dead. I saw that I had all that I had done, all that I was doing, and all that was left that I would do is nothing but sin, vanity and vexation. Oh, but I saw that this very day that I may fall and cry out for him. Lord, save me lest I perish. Lord, save me lest I perish. No one has ever had Christ revealed unto them and walked away the same as they were before. Something happens when Christ reveals himself to a man or a woman. Something happens when they see him. Something happens when God reveals himself unto him. And the result is pretty much the same when Christ reveals himself to a person. The flesh always withers before Christ when he is pleased to reveal himself. Oh, we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. How blessed, how happy is it to fall at his feet as one who had been slain by the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are never so near to God. Nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. We are never so much alive as when we are dead at his feet. We are never so truly living as our flesh, as when our flesh withers in death before our great God and Savior. Christ who slays the flesh will always raise and revive those he slays by the hand of almighty grace. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. He revived me. He caused life to come unto me. Life comes out of death. Revival comes out of withering. If you and I can fall at his feet in humble admiration, brokenhearted over sin, he will raise you up by his grace. Christ revealed in the heart always brings a word of comfort and assurance to the one whom he reveals himself. He lays his right hand upon me, the power, the strength, the authority that he has in his right hand. And he says unto me, fear not. Fear not. The Lord speaks here to his servant John and says, fear not. Our Lord speaks to every believer and he says, fear not. What have I to fear? What have I to fear if the Lord be with me? What have I have to fear if Christ takes my place before God? What have I have to fear if he stands as my substitute, my surety, my righteousness, my redemption? He has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What have I to fear? I have everything that I need to approach a holy God and be found accepted. In the Beloved, accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high. Christ lives as our surety from eternity. He dies as our surety in time and lives forevermore as our surety in heaven. He who is our surety has sovereign power over death, hell, and the grave. We read in Psalm verse 68, verse 18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts of me for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with mercy, love, grace, forgiveness. He loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues of death. He will protect you. Fear not. I am his, and he is mine. He will protect us in all our appointed ways. He will keep us by his grace. I will not turn away from you, but to do you good. So cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord gives John several reasons, as he does to each one of his sheep, why he should not fear, and he gives them as he describes himself. He describes himself here. He says, I am the first and the last. Don't fear. Don't fear. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. I am he that hath life. I am he that hath power. I am he that giveth life. Our Lord speaks here to John and shows his proper deity. He is the first and the last in divine predestination. He is the first and the last in the covenant of grace. He is the first and the last in creation. He is the first and the last in this business of salvation. And he is the first and the last in everything pertaining to the church. He is the head of the church. He is the one whom the church dwells in, by whom and for whom all things are founded or made for him. He is the head of the body, the son over his own house, the firstborn among many brethren. He is the first and the last to his people. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, don't you love to read the I ams of God? I am he. I am he. I am the one that liveth. I am the one that liveth and was dead. Sometime back, I read one man's account as he presented this verse unto his congregation. And he stood before the congregation. He said, my sole purpose, or my sole object, concerning this verse, verse 18, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, my sole object is to set before you the greatness of Christ, our ever-living God and Savior. I want you to see him high and lifted up. I want by the Spirit of God to inspire your hearts to bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, may God make Christ glorious in our hearts. I have no other desire. I know of no better way to show you Christ's greatness and Christ's glory than to give you his own account, his own description of his own glorious being. This is how the glorified Christ describes himself to John. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am he that liveth. If you can recall, when you see the word or the letters ETH on the end of a word, it means continuation. I am he that liveth as the eternal God. I am he that liveth who has life in himself. I am he that liveth this original life. Life originated with God. He is the sustainer of life. He is the fountain and author of life. He gives life unto others. He who ever lives as our mediator, our redeemer, and still does. He lives forever. There is a man in glory, the man Christ Jesus, and he's there mediating between God and man, or men. He is my redeemer. I have redeemed you, and you're mine. He's there in the very presence of God, making intercession for me. I am he that liveth and was dead. He died the death of the cross for the sins of his people. And in due time, he died but once, and it was but a short time. He was held under the power of death, and he will never die again. When God gave the Son to be flesh, when the Spirit of God entered in to the virgin womb of Mary, life entered into her. Life entered into her womb. And when he came forth from the womb, he came forth alive. He came forth with power. How that God was made flesh, I have no idea. But the Spirit of God came into the Virgin Mary, and she conceived, and she bare the Son of God. I am he that liveth. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And he died under the power of Almighty God against sin. He made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, but yet he was made sin. God the Father had made him sin. And because he had been made sin, he must die. The soul that sinneth, it must surely die. And when he took our place, God looking upon him as sin. I don't understand these things, but the Word of God tells us clearly and plainly, he hath made him sin, that we, the result of him being made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God making his son sin, and there slaying him on the cruel tree. He died under the wrath and penalty of God. And there he gave his life as a substitute, a satisfaction, a ransom to God on behalf of his people. I am he that liveth and was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. The grave could not hold him any longer. For 3 days he laid in the grave, and on the third day he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended unto the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he sat down, his sacrifice accepted of God. His sacrifice secured our salvation. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He was always alive as God. He was always alive, a living God, and he ever will be. He who is now alive as man and will forever continue to be. And he is alive to God. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walked with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives by him. He lives with him. And he lives in his glory. He's there seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And because he lives, I can live also. He is alive to the benefit and advantage of his redeemed one for whom he died. He ever lived to make intercession for them. He rose again from the dead for their justification and being quickened together with them and their being begotten again to a lively hope or owing to his being alive. If he is not alive, there's no hope for mankind. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then we're yet in our sin. And we believed in God in vain. But oh, thanks be unto God, there is a resurrection. There is the man in glory, Christ Jesus the Lord. And he reconciles us. He has made peace between God and sinners. He reconciles us unto himself by his own blood. Oh, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. God alone has power and dominion over death. God alone has dominion over hell, death, and the grave. These keys refers to his power to open or to shut, to kill or to make alive. Our Lord said in John chapter 10 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. The Roman soldiers could not hold him. The Roman soldiers could not take his life. He said, no man taketh my life. I give it freely. I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. All judgment. These keys represents power and authority. All judgment is given into the hands of the Lord. He has the power to open the grave. He has the power to cast into hell. He has the power over death, hell, and the grave. He can deliver those for whom he died for. He has the keys or power to cast Satan into the bottomless pit and to shut him up there, the keys of which he has in his right hand. He has the power or the key to preserve his people. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will be with thee always, even unto the end. Fear not. Fear not. I am with thee. I will not leave thee. I will not turn away from thee, but to do thee good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. This is what this fear not means. I'll give you rest. I have made peace with God on behalf of my beloved. I have made peace with God for those for whom he has given me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And now he presents his people in his shed blood and in his righteousness. He presents them unto the Father a glorified people, holy, without blame, acceptable in the beloved. Oh, that we may be accepted in him, that we may see him, and that we may fall at his feet as dead, and that he may create life within us. Oh, won't you look to Christ and have life in him.
The preceding message was preached by Brother Roland Browning from Dingus Baptist Church in Dingus, West Virginia, where Brother Gary Vance is the pastor. And just a reminder, listen to my brother and fellow pastor Joe Galusik next week at 9 a.m. each Sunday. Our web address for Sovereign Grace Chapel is www.sgchapel.com. That's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732.